I've looked forward to this morning, to this time this morning for the past several days. The last two times that I've read through the Bible, there's been two verses that have sort of just reached out and grabbed hold of me. One of those was one I read a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, where the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And then a verse that you don't need to turn to, but I'm going to read it for you this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." This morning I want to preach a message I've entitled, "Made Nigh by the Blood." Made nigh by the blood. And what I want to do this morning is, and I try to do this every single week, I want to paint a picture and I want to illustrate for you this morning what God does for us. I know if you've come here for very long, you say, well, I've seen lots of pictures and I've heard lots of illustrations. But I want to remind you that all those pictures that I try to paint and all those illustrations all have the same object. And that object is Jesus. Because here's what I think. If you've come here this morning, if you came here this morning and you're here, and you don't see Jesus, then you've wasted your time. And if I've come here this morning and I don't draw your attention to Jesus, then I have failed in what God has called me to do. So this morning, one more time, I invite you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. I don't want you to just take a sideway glance. I don't want you to take a glimpse of him this morning. I want you to look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I want to tell you something. The reason that the world has so much of a hold on us, and the reason that sometimes the things of the world demand so much of our attention, is we're not looking full in the face of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." All right, so I need some help this morning. Terry, I'd like you to come. And Bob, would you come? And let's see. Dennis, you come. And then Bill, you come. All right, Bob, you sit right there. Terry, you sit right there. Dennis, you come over here and stand, and Bill, you sit right there in the middle. All right, let's see. I'll put this right over here. Now, let me tell you what I've got, and I'm going to get to my message. Here's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This line right here between this music stand and the pulpit, I'm going to call sin. All right? And this line right here between this chair and this little table, I'm going to call blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you what all that means in just a moment. I got 6 points this morning, and I wanted to finish a little bit early so I wouldn't hold you over too late because we're going to vote and all that. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care. I got to get done this morning. So just be patient with me. Brother Wendell sang it a moment ago. Dennis, come over here. God made man to fellowship with him. We were created to fellowship with God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We see that verse played out early in the book of Genesis, in the early chapters of Genesis. God said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said this, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And that's what they do. They make man in their image. And when they make man, they put him in a place called the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that in the cool of the day, the voice of God came and visited and fellowshipped with man. In the book of John, the Bible calls Jesus the Word. And I don't know for sure, but I sort of think, and it's just my opinion, I'll be honest with you, I don't know for sure, but I think it was in some form Jesus was in the Garden of Eden fellowshipping with Adam. And so, Terry, you be Jesus this morning. You're sitting at the right hand of God there in the middle. And so they fellowship. Shake hands. They fellowship. And that's why we were created, to fellowship with God. And they enjoyed that fellowship. So we were made to fellowship with God. But one day something happened. One day Adam made a decision. And that decision disrupted and interrupted his fellowship with God. That decision affected all, or maybe I should say, not only affected, but infected every single man. Because you see, in the garden where God placed Adam, God said, you can eat the fruit from all the trees. But he said this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, most of you that have read the book of Genesis, you know the story. I don't have time to tell you it all this morning, but let me just cut right to the chase. One day, Adam made a conscious decision to eat that fruit. One day, Adam decided to disobey God. One day, Adam turned his back on God and stepped over this line. Okay, Terry, you can go back and sit down for a minute. No, come here, Dennis. Turn your back on God. And he consciously decides to step across this line. Again, this line right here between the pulpit and this music stand is sin. And sin, in its simplest form, is doing exactly that. It's disobeying God. God said, don't eat of the fruit. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can have everything else, but you can't eat of this fruit. And Adam one day, not unconsciously, not unknowingly, but knowing exactly what he was doing, took of that fruit and ate it. And when he did that, sin came into the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, when Adam made that decision to eat that fruit, sin came into the world, and in its sin, this sin right here, that separates us from God. Before we stepped across that line, we were living over here where we were created to live. We were living in the fellowship of God. But we made a decision, and we stepped across that line, and sin came into the world, and the Bible says that every single one of us got a sin nature. And every single one of us become a sinner when we do the same thing that Adam did, when we step across that line. Now, let me hasten to say, a couple people have asked me this week. That's why I don't believe little babies that die go to hell. I believe that little babies that die go to heaven. And here's why. They have a sin nature because we're all descendant from Adam. I mean, every little baby has a sin nature. That's why they cry when there's nothing wrong. They have a sin nature. But I don't believe a little baby ever comes to the point where they make a conscious decision and say, I know God doesn't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's why I don't think they go to heaven. So, man, we're made to fellowship with God. When we made the decision to disobey God, we stepped across the line of sin, and that sin separates us from God. Number three, Jesus came to make us a way back. Terry, I want you to come. I want you to stand right here on this side of the line. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. We had it at one time. We enjoyed the fellowship over here on this side of the line. But we lost it when man stepped across that line. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so here's man. He has his back turned toward God. He's heading deeper and deeper into sin. And Jesus comes into the world, and he starts talking and teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. And here's the message that Jesus preached when he was here on earth. He's saying this, "Hey, mankind, you weren't made to live over there in sin. We made you to live over here. You were created to live over here with us and fellowship with us. I've come to show you and to make a way for you to get back." Now, I want you to notice something, and this is very important. I want you to notice where Jesus is standing. He's standing on this side of sin. The Bible says that when he came to the earth, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And for the 33 and some years that Jesus lived on earth, he faced every temptation, every discouragement, everything that you and I face, but he did not sin. He never crossed over the line. He never took one step over that line of sin. That's why on three different occasions, God the Father looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Because he's lived on earth. He's lived amongst the sin. He's lived amongst the sinners. But he's never crossed the line. He never sinned. Until one day. Until one day, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, took a step over that line into sin. And God the Father took all the sin that mankind had and put it on Jesus Christ. And he died in sin for you and I. What a good God we have. What a good God we have. Never stepped over the line. The 30-some years that he lived on this earth never went into the sin until he hung on the cross. And God put every sin on the Savior. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, the Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus said, "I'll pay the price for your sin. If you receive me, I'll help you get back where you belong. I'll help you get back over here into the fellowship of God." In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." To step back over that line and get back into fellowship. So he went to the cross. He paid for our sins. And then the Bible says he went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. But I want to tell you something blessed this morning. God wasn't done yet. He wasn't done yet. Because when the Son went back to heaven, Jesus said, "I got to go back. Because until I get back, the Holy Spirit can't come." And the Holy Spirit, Bobby, the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit is what draws us back to God. You see, mankind is got his back still toward God, and he's moving deeper and deeper into sin. And Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Jesus is back in heaven. So here's God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit comes to where we are. I'm so glad that he didn't stay in heaven and shout for us to come back. I'm so glad he didn't stay in heaven and say, hey, come on, you can make it. No, the Holy Spirit comes to where we are, and the Holy Spirit whispers in our soul, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. If you'll ask him, he'll save you. I think one of the favorite verses of the Holy Spirit is that verse that's a favorite to many of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the message of the Holy Spirit to every sinner. You don't belong over here. You weren't made to live over here. You were created to live over here. You were made to fellowship with God. Why don't you come home? Why don't you come home? Thought about that song that we sing for invitation sometimes. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sinner, come home. Come home. Point number 5. You need to come now. You need to come today, because there is a point of no return. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, a lot of people preach the false doctrine that sinners are getting better. Sinners aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Sinners still got their back turned toward God, and sinners are still heading deeper and deeper into sin. Dennis and Bob, you go with them. Deeper and deeper into sin. Stop right there. We're not getting better. Sinners are getting worse. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now here's what Jesus was talking about. As man, we're headed deeper and deeper into sin. And there comes a point, and I'll just illustrate it with a line this morning, where man can step over, but the Holy Spirit can't. The Holy Spirit says, I can't go any further. I've followed you all the way from here and over here, and I pled with you all the way along that journey. I've told you about Jesus. Every step you've taken deeper into sin, I've told you about Jesus. But when you get over here and you say no, and no, and no, and no, and no, and no, there comes a point where I can't go with you anymore. And you step over that line, and you're lost forever. Because you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's what some people call the unpardonable sin. The sin where you say no to the Holy Spirit so much that he can't get your attention anymore. This morning, I beg you, if you're here without Christ, don't step over that line. Don't get to the point in your life where you get so hardened that the Holy Spirit can't get a hold of you and reach you for Jesus. Because I tell you what, Dennis, back up just a little bit. And Bob, you back up with him. Step back on the other side of that line. Okay, right there. Now, I tell you what, I don't care if you're right here, just over the line of sin, or I don't care if you're over here, close to where you're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. God's able to save you. He's able to save you. Oh, Brother Darrell, you don't know me. You don't know my life. I'm so deep into sin. Jesus said, I didn't come to call righteous people to repentance. I came to call sinners. He told that story about the king who went out and found somebody that owed him $50 million and somebody that owed him a dime. He forgave them both. And the point of the story was, who do you think loved him more? And the answer was, the one that he forgave the most. If you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved today. Now is the accepted time. Okay, Dennis, you sit down in that chair. Bob, you go back over here and and sit down. I tell you what, you guys can just go ahead and sit down. I'll just get you off the platform right now. Thank you for your help. Here's what you need to do this morning. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in Him. If you're here today and you're still on this side of the line, don't take any chances. Don't go deeper into sin. Repent. You see, when Dennis was like this, he had his back toward God. And what the Bible says we need to do, we need to repent. We need to turn around. And we need to look toward Christ. And we need to believe in Him. In the book of John chapter 3, right before verse 16, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And if you'll do that this morning, then you'll understand what Ephesians 2:13 is all about. "Ye who were sometimes far off." We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. I finished up my sermon last night. I got to thinking about what Jesus did for me. And I thought about some of the songs that we sing, some of the choir songs, some of the congregational songs. I thought about that song, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow." Isaiah 1:18, "Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red, they can be white. They can be white like snow." I thought about that song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then one more. I thought about that song. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." That's what happened to me. If you know Jesus this morning, that's what happened to you. You plunged in that fountain and the precious blood of Jesus. In the book of Peter says, hey, you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, would you get under the blood? The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Would you come to Christ this morning? Would you receive Him as your Savior? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's why you're here. That's why God had you here this morning, so that you could hear about the One who died for you and you could come and receive Him. If you're a Christian, maybe you want to do this morning what I did last night. After singing those songs, I got on my face. I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and paying the price for my sin." Now, if you're saved, in just a second, we're gonna stand and we're gonna have a song. We call it an invitation song. And Brother Dick, I want to sing this morning just as I am, without one plea. We call it an invitation song because on the church's behalf, on Jesus' behalf, I invite you to come to Him. You're here today and you've never received Christ. I want you to come when we start singing the very first word of the very first verse. I want you to come. And we'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, this is a good place to get on your knees before God and to say, thank you. Thank you. And if you need to do that this morning, you do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful, sweet message that's in this book about what you did for us when you saved us. I pray every Christian here this morning would just rejoice in their heart, rejoice in their soul, realizing what you did for each one of us. And Father, I pray every person here this morning that's never received Christ would realize what you did for them. You paid the price for all their sin. Jesus did. And if they'll come this morning, they can get that sin washed away. They can be made right in your eyes. They can get back on the other side of the line. They can get back to where they belong. They can get back to where they were created to exist. They can come back home. Father, would you help make that decision today? Every single person here that doesn't know Christ, help them this morning to make that decision. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.